Okay, so we saw the Gemara in Daf Gimel Amud Aleph. We're trying to wrap up this pshat in the Mishnah. The Mishnah told us Dine Momenus B'Shloisha, and then said Gezelos V'Chavolos B'Shloisha. So at this stage of the game, we've gone a number of backwards and forwards, but at this stage of the game, the Gemara's conclusion is that essentially in Halvois, you should need not only three dayonim, but you should also need three mumchim. However, we do away with the mumchim. Just like Reb Chanina told us, we do away with drisha v'chakira, at least in the case of dinei momonos. For the same reason, we do away with mumchim. And what, in fact, is that reason? As to encourage the malveh, the lender, to lend money. If he knows it's going to be a whole complication to assemble a bezdin, or he's going to be cross-examined, the Eidim will be cross-examined, and the likelihood is they'll be caught. And if they're going to be caught off guard, eventually the borrower will be exonerated or be exempted. Well, if that's the case, I'm not going to go into this loan in the first place. But if I know that the Eidim are not going to be cross-examined so heavily, nor do I have to assemble top quality dayanim, it's much easier to assemble, so then I'm not going to close the door on the loiva. Now the Gemara asks one more question. Says the Gemara, it's the last word on the third line. Says the Gemara, elomiato, if that's the case, ta'u, Loi Yishalmu question mark. What does that mean? Tou Loi Yishalmu. So Rashi explains, and this is a reference to a Gemara later on in the Masechta. We have a very, very fundamental Shaila, and it's a discussion obviously we're going to have to revisit. What happens when a mistake is made in Bezdin? Is there recourse or not? In other words, can the Dayonim say, excuse me, we made a mistake first time round, we reconsider, and we would like to change our psak? So in the beginning we said one thing, in the end we said something else. And the answer is, it depends what type of bezdin we're talking about. This is a Gemara later on in the Masechta, meaning we have to differentiate between mumchin and non-mumchin. If they are mumchin, then yes, they have the koyach to reverse their psak. Initially, we said the guy is chayev to pay. Now we are changing that, and on second thoughts, we say no, in fact, he's exempt after all. Whereas, if it is not mumchin, the Gemara there says that they do not have the koyach to reverse their psak, for reasons that are discussed in the Gemara there. So here comes the interesting question. If you're telling me there's a difference between mumchin and non-mumchin, as we've just mentioned, with regard to whether the bezdin can reverse their psak, but by virtue of the fact that you allow these dayonim to adjudicate in the first place in place of mumchim, meaning, essentially, remember, we needed three mumchim. It's just Reb Chanina said, we'll do away with that and we'll suffice with ordinary dayonim. But those ordinary dayonim, quote unquote, are in fact fulfilling the role of mumchim. It's not that I don't require mumchin. I do require mumchin. These ordinary dayonim are playing the role of mumchin. Min ha-Torah, you absolutely have to have mumchin. Iruv parshias, cut and paste. So therefore the Gemara says, if you are attaching mumcha status to dayonim who are essentially not mumchin, then surely the halacha of whether or not you can reverse a psak should also apply to them, because you're treating them as mumchin. Again, We're not saying that you don't need mumchen. You do need mumchen. Min haTorah, you need mumchen. Because Iruv Parashios, cut and paste, etc., etc. Chazal have said that the ordinary Dayanim will play the role of mumchen. Instead of having mumchen, we will have the ordinary Dayanim. So they will, for purposes of Dinei Mamonos, adopt the status of mumchin, albeit that essentially they're not mumchin. But it has to be that we're giving them the status of mumchin. Why does it have to be that we're giving them the status of mumchin? Because the Torah says you have to have mumchin. We can't argue with the Torah. All we can do is say that when the Torah says that you have to have mumchin, we are prepared to give, as it were, temporary mumchin status to non-mumchin dayan. And if that's the case, then if the halacha of mumchin is that they could reverse the psak, then that should apply also with these dayanim who, albeit are not mumchin, but we are considering them as mumchin. So why do you tell me that if I have ordinary dayanim, they cannot reverse the psak? But these ordinary dayanim are not so ordinary because they are actually taking the place of mumche dayanim. And we're treating them as mumche dayanim and they're fulfilling the role of mumche dayanim. So surely they should have the status of mumche dayanim. Have a look at Rashi. On the first narrow line, Elo me'ato to'u. So now that you've told me that essentially you do need mumche, it's just that these ordinary hedyotos, which means the ordinary dayanim, are being treated with mumche status, says Rashi. To'u hedyotos b'dinei mamonos. If these hedyotos made a mistake in monetary matters, lo yishalmu. Well, then the guy shouldn't have to pay up. De kiven de berashus rabbonon. Because seeing as it is with the permission of Chazal, konachti, that they have been placed, therefore, havaluhu kamumchin. So therefore, they are treated as if they're mumchin. We all know that they're not mumchin. But because Chazal have sanctioned this, it is as if they are mumchin. We have a principle later on in the Gemara Daf Lamed Gimel that anybody who's a mumcha sitting on a bezdin im ta'o potter mila shalem, if a mistake was made, then they'll be exempted from paying. Kedele kamon be'echodinei mamonos, as you'll see later on in the Gemara, in the perek called Echodinei Mamonos, it says hosheinei mumcha. Chayev. If he's not a mumcha, then he's obligated to pay. But if he's a mumcha, he can reverse the psak. So if that's the case, once we've established that essentially in Dinei Mamonos you need mumchin, for reasons we discussed before, we don't want to close the door on the malva, on the loiva, we're prepared to have hedyotos and consider them as mumchin. Well, if I consider them as mumchin, I'm going to have to give them mumchin status. So if a mistake was made, surely the guy should not have to pay. And yet what is the halacha? The halacha is, if non-mumchin made a mistake, they do have to pay. Why? Make up your mind. Are you treating them as mumchin or not? If you're not treating them as mumchin, then you're not satisfying the halacha of the Torah that requires mumchin. And if you are treating them as mumchim, well, then I've got to give them mumchim status. And the loch of mumchim status is that they can reverse their psak. And if they initially said the guy is chayev, now they change their mind, then he's off the hook. Reb Larry.
Isn't this a little bit like if you need like a rub with smicha to give you a psak halacha or something, comes along somebody says, listen, I know you're not really a rav, you didn't take the test, you don't know any Torah, but you know what? I want people to be able to come to you, so I'm going to give you the label of smicha. I'm giving you smicha without earning it whatsoever. What would be the value in that? How could they tell, how could they say, for them mumchem, just like that? When the Torah says you need mumchim, means they have to earn mumchim status.
You're right. This is the koyach of Chazal. You and I could not attach smicha to somebody who does not have smicha. But Chazal were able to do this. Chazal also overturned the mitzvah of shofar in Rosh Hashanah. They also said, don't shake lulav when sukkah is on Shabbos. They have that koyach to overturn the halacha of the Torah. You and I do not have that. By the way, let's not make a mistake. They didn't say, we'll do away with mumchin, so we'll just rope in three guys off the street. We're talking about serious Talmidei Chachamim. They're not a professor, they're a doctor. Fine, but they know their stuff. Says the Gemara, no. Kol shekein atanoil deles bifnei loivin. Because if you do that, then once again, you're closing the door for the loiva. Why are you closing the door for the loiva? Because again, what's the malveh going to think to himself? The malveh is going to think to himself, oy geval, they're going to assemble this bezdin. They're going to decide that the loiva is chayev to pay. And then what happens if all of a sudden the dayanim say, no, we want to change our mind. So what will be the halacha then? They won't have to pay because you're considering them mumchin. And when mumchin make a mistake, they can reverse their psak. So he might not having to pay in the end. So again, I'm not going to go into this loan. So for that reason, Chazal waived that halacha. And they
Rav,
said,
there are a lot of unspecified pronouns in this little sugya. I think we learned it incorrectly because we thought that what it said, if they change their mind, they're chayev, meaning the yonim are chayev to pay for any damages that may have been done as a result of the miss. You know,
Exactly.
the poor psak, and he had to go back, as opposed to the if he's
Yeah, no, sorry, you're right. I made a mistake. You're quite right. We're talking about whether the dayanim have to pay. You're quite right. But that's exactly the concern over here. If you are giving mumcha status, excuse me, I made a mistake. If you're giving mumcha status to these dayanim, then even if they make a mistake, they will not have to pay. Because only a non-mumcha is liable for making a mistake because he's a non-mumcha. So that was the Gemara's question. You're quite right. I made a mistake. That was the Gemara's question. If you are giving these non-mumchin mumcha status, well, in the event that they make a mistake, they should not be obligated to pay because that's the halacha. To which the Gemara says, well, if you do that, then we're back to square one. Because at least let the lender have the peace of mind with the knowledge that in the event that the dayanim make a mistake, well, if the borrower won't pay me, at least the dayanim will pay me. But if you're going to give them mumche status, so what is he thinking? I'm taking a big risk. This is a huge gamble because if the dayanim make a mistake, well, then the loiva will be off the hook and so will the dayanim. So once again, you're closing the door on the lender. You're quite right. That is the pshat in the Gemara. And that is the end of part one of this Gemara. We'll see there's a part two and there's a part three. But at this stage of the Gemara, we can press pause for a moment. We finally have now worked out pshat in the Mishnah. How do we read that tricky opening line of the Mishnah? Dine momenus bishloisha, gezelos v'chavolos bishloisha. So what was the question? Gezelos v'chavolos is dine momenus, and the answer is we're coming to exclude halvois. What is the difference between gezelos v'chavolos and halvois? The answer is gezelos v'chavolos need three mumchin. Halvois do not need three mumchin for reasons that we've explained. Now, according to this pshat, halvois is never actually referred to in the Mishnah. Rather, it's just inferred. Dinei momenus bishloisha, ma'hein. Mahain, what are the dine momonos that are being referred to? The answer is the dine momonos that are being referred to are gezelos v'chavolos. So by inference, we know that the halvois has a different halacha, but halvois is never actually mentioned at all. And this is going to be the query of the Gemara, and that's why the Gemara is going to move on to a very, very similar interpretation of a Mishnah, but with a minor difference. Says the Gemara, Ihochi, if that's the case, Tarati Katani. Then you really could have said that two separate halachas were being taught. According to this first approach, how many halachas are being taught in the Mishnah? And the answer is one. Which halacha is being taught in the Mishnah? That gezeilos v'chavolos need three mumchim. By inference, we understand the halvois is different. But the Mishnah never actually taught us the halacha of halvois. So again, how many halachas are being taught in the Mishnah? Only one. Gezeilos v'chavolos are being taught. Halvois is by inference. Well, once you agree that there's a distinction between gezeilos v'chavolos and halvois, then why don't you simply say that the Mishnah is, in fact, teaching us both of these halachas? So why can't you say the following? Rather than saying that gezeilos v'chavolos is a qualification of the Dine Momonos B'Shloisha opening line, why can't we say as follows? Dine Momonos B'Shloisha means there are occasions that Dine Momonos requires any three Dayonim, that is Halvois, and Gezelois V'Chavolois require three Mumchin. Well, that way, it's true, we would arrive at all the same conclusions, but then the Mishnah has clearly spelled out two halachas rather than just telling us one, and the second is by inference. That's the Gemara's question. So we're not querying the maskana of the Mishnah. We're just querying the way it's stated. So let's see this in the Gemara. Ihochi, if so, tarati katani. Then two halachas can be taught in the Mishnah. Why didn't the Mishnah simply say Dine Momonos Bishloisha means Bishloisha Hedyotos, but Gezelos V'Chavolos Bishloisha Mumchin? So then it's not just hinted to or referred to, it's being spelled out that generally Dine Momonos requires three, any three Dayanim, even Hedyotos, but Gezelos V'Chavolos three Mumchin. That's question number one. Va'oid shloisha shloisha lomoli. Why does the word shloisha need to appear twice in the Mishnah? Remember, what was the opening line in the Mishnah? Dine momonos bishloisha, gezelos v'chavolos bishloisha. So the word shloisha appears twice. Why does it have to say that? Why can't it miss out the first word shloisha? If gezeilos v'chavolos is just a reference, is just a qualification of the opening dine momonos b'shloisha line, so miss out the first word shloisha. Say as follows: dine momonos, i.e., gezeilos v'chavolos is b'shloisha. But by virtue of the fact that the Mishnah spells out shloisha twice, it really does sound like it's two separate halachas. Not just one is just the qualification, because then it's just one halacha. Well, if there's only one halacha, then there's no need to tell me shloisha twice. Have a look at the way Rashi explains. I think we missed out one Rashi. Kol shekein sha'atanoel deles de sova dilma to'u beidina. Maybe the bezin will make a mistake. U'potri le'u mafsidna. I'm going to end up losing the money. Says the Gemara, Rashi explains, I hochi, if that's really true, the bohi dois v'hal vois, shloi shaboinon, lomo leil rabavohu, why did rabavohu l'uk mil masnisin b'mahin ketoni? Why did he have to say that the second line in the Mishnah is just a qualification of the first? Surely, tarati ketoni, motzi l'meima. We could have interpreted the Mishnah much more neatly and say as follows. Dine mamanas dahainu, what does that mean? Hoidois vahalvois bishloisha koldahu, any type of judge, comma. The gazelois vahavolis, this is now the second halacha begimul mumchin. Why is it split up into two? Umishum de chalukin bedinean, because there is a differentiation between the two. One does need mumchin and one doesn't. Therefore, loy kololinu bechad klola. Therefore, it wasn't included all in one big rule, because there is no one big rule. That would have been a far neater way of interpreting the Mishnah, and then everything has been spelled out. Question number one. Question number two. Void. Ichod ketani. If in fact the Mishnah is only teaching me one halacha, what is that? Gezeilos v'chavoles. Everything else has to be learned by inference, but it's not being spelled out. So how many cases are actually being referred to in the Mishnah? Only gezeilos v'chavoles. Well, if that's the case, lomali lemisni treizim nishloisha. Why does the Mishnah need to say the word shloisha twice? Surely, hochi iboye lemisni. This is the way it should have been stated, quote unquote. Dine momenos shehein gezeles v'chavolos b'shloisha. But you don't need to say the word b'shloisha twice. If you say the word b'shloisha twice, it sounds like there's one case of three dayonim, and then there's another case of three dayonim. That sounds like we're referring to two cases, not one case. And therefore, says the Gemara, Elo Omarova Tarti Katani. So what does Rava say? I agree with your halachic conclusion, but I disagree with the way you interpret the Mishnah, and I would say that yes, the Mishnah is telling me two separate statements. Mishum de Rabbi Chanina. And this is all based, once again, on Rabbi Chanina. Rabbi Chanina taught us that in the case of Momonos, you don't need Drisha v'chakira. So too, our Mishnah is teaching us that for the same reason, in Dine Momonos, you don't need Mumchin. But how many halachas are being taught to us in the Mishnah? Two separate halachas. Says Rashi, Tarati Katani, Devadai Gimel Boino. That's not up for discussion. You definitely need three Dayonin. In the case of Halvois, why? De Iruv Parashios Kasiv Kan, because we had that principle of mixing up the two parashios cut and paste. Well, if that's the case, for the same price, you should also require Mumchin. The answer is, you're right. Essentially, I should require Mumchin. But we had Rav Chanina's principle. Umihu behedyotos sagi, with ordinary dayanim, it will suffice. Mishum de Rav Chanina. Because Rav Chanina said, we're always more easygoing with dinei momonos for reasons that we've explained. V'hochi kama. Therefore, this is what the Mishnah really means. Dinei momonos, i.e. dainu haidoyes v'halvois b'shloisha hedyotos, that's din number one. Gezeilos v'chavolois b'shloisha mumchin, that's din number two. So you can't ask me a question, why does the Mishnah say the word shloisha twice? It's obvious, because it's two different cases. Dine momenes b'shloisha means hoidoyos need three. What type of three? Any three. Gezeles v'chavolos need three. What type of three? Mumchin. So again, there's no major machlokes with regard to the Mishnah, just how to technically read it. But everybody agrees so far, both in stage one and stage two, halvoyos need three and chavolos need three as well. The difference is only whether you need mumchin. Now, says the Gemara, there's a completely different interpretation of the Mishnah coming up. Says the Gemara that no. Mishum de Rabbi Acha, Breider of Ikka Omar. He says, I interpret the Mishnah differently. Midoraisa chad nami kosher. We have, since the beginning of the Zman, made an assumption based on the cut and paste principle that you always need three dayonim, whether nefoshos or momonos, you always need three the dayonim. And the only discussion was what? What type of dayonim? Says Rav Acha Breider Ikka, no, I disagree. I hold that in the case of momonos, min ha-Torah, you only need one dayan. Why? Sheneemar betzedek tishpoit amisecha. What does tishpoit mean? You, singular, shall judge. If you needed three, it would say tishpoitu. You, plural, should judge. So Rav Acha Breider Ikka is teaching us a tremendous chiddush that actually dine momonos does not require three dayonim min ha-Torah. However, Chazal required three. This is almost the identical opposite of the first approach. In the first approach, we are more lenient in dine momonos than the Torah requires. Rav Acha Breider Ikka says, no, we are more stringent than the Torah requires. It's mamish the opposite. The Torah only requires one. Chazal said, no, you better put three there for reasons we're about to explain. Rav Larry.
You know, it's almost like there's a Hava Amina that without the Mishnah, Chad Nami, because the
Right.
Torah has a Pasuk. Comes the Mishnah to say, I know you'd have a Hava Amina to believe only one judge would be good because of Midyaraisa. We're coming to let you know we're overriding that.
100%. And this is the totally brand new reading of the Mishnah. The first Mahalach learned that what is the Chiddush of the Mishnah, precisely as you pointed out, Larry, not the number of the Dayanim, but rather the status, the standard of the Dayanim. Whereas according to this new approach, what is the Chiddush of the Mishnah? The fact that you actually have to have three. Because min ha-Torah, to be perfectly honest, you would not need three, because one would suffice. So here comes the big question. So why indeed did Chazal require three? Says the Gemara. Elo mishum yoshvei kronos. Layabouts. Yoshvei kronos, literally translated, people who sit in wagons, who are obviously ignorant people. Why would you not require three dayon? The answer is, it must be that you don't hold of Eruv Parshiyos. Remember, in the case of Halvoyos, it never said you need three. The source was only from Eruv Parshiyos. But if you don't hold of Eruv Parshiyos, then you don't need three. And for the same price, you don't need Mumchim either. Said Chazal, if you don't need three and you don't need Mumchim, we're running a big risk. What's the big risk? If you only need one and he doesn't need to be a mumcha, so maybe they'll just put some old layabout there, as you initially asked before, Larry, and then who's to say he knows anything? That's too much of a risk. We can't allow that. So we're going to insist at least have three. Now, why is that any better? So maybe there'll be three layabouts. Well, that's really less likely. Says the Gemara, Otu betlosa, miloy have a yeshvei kronos. Well, is it any better if you have three? Maybe all three will be layabouts. The Gemara, that's very unlikely. It can't be that at least one of them doesn't know his stuff. So min ha-Torah, one dayon would be sufficient, albeit you don't need a mumche. Chazal required three, because we're worried they'll have some ignorant person there. If we insist on three, the likelihood is at least somebody there will know his stuff. Once again, the Gemara says, Elo me'ato to'u lo yishalmu. So if you are giving them status of a real bezdin, so if they make a mistake, they should not have to pay. Kol shekein, says the Gemara, denefishi yoshvei kronis. If you're going to exempt them, then that's even more likely you're going to put ignorant people there because they couldn't care less.
Why
There are some.
wasn't
Sorry?
the Torah, why wasn't the Torah concerned about an ignorant
Good
person?
question. Great question. Why did it need Chazal to come up, figure out this chashash that if you only need one Dayan and he doesn't need to be a mumcha, aren't we running a huge risk of putting any old Tom, Dick, and Harry there in the Beis Din? Good question. Okay, there are a number of Rashis, and we have to finish this part of the sugya, but Be'ezus Hashem, tomorrow is another day. Be well, everybody.
Thank you, Rabbi.
All right. Have a good day.